Welcome everyone to episode 107 of Bike Club. This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
And this is Josh.
And Lynn is not with us today. She's slaving away at work.
Poor thing.
But I will read an email that she wrote to us after we recap The Vampire Diaries, third episode of season three. Very excited. Can't wait to get to that because I watched it again a second time. And we're going to hear a little bit more about the Secret Circle. And then that'll be kind of it. But before we get started, this is a Bike Club show where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. Oh, and you know what's coming up soon is The Walking Dead. We'll have to add that to our arsenal of shows. And you can find us on Facebook. I'm going to start with Facebook because that's where we're most active. Well, Stephanie is facebook.com/bikeclubshow. And our website is bikeclubshow.com. You can also email us bikeclubshow@gmail.com. And we're also on Twitter @bikeclubshow. All right, each and every week we start with our wine selection of the week. I will go first since I'm actually drinking wine tonight. I bought a French wine. I bought a half bottle, so 375 milliliters. And it is a Réserve Perrin Côte de Rhône. And God, is everything in French here? Oh my Lord. Wait a minute. No, it's not. This is a $6.99 half bottle of wine. And I can read the back. This rich, full-bodied Côte de Rhône is produced by the Perrin brothers of Château de Boucastel. Okay, anyways. It is made from Grenache. Oh, so this is a blend. Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, and Cinot. Oh, God. So sorry. Those are
very
from France. Grapes selected in part from their own vineyards and in part from some of the best vineyards in the appellation. The wine is lightly... is lightly fined and not cold stabilized, so with time it is normal to find some natural sediment in the bottle. This wine has all the peppery aromas, black cherry, cassis, and spice flavors, and a long, complex finish of a fine Rhone wine, and is perfect accompaniment to Mediterranean cooking. Okay, well, I didn't really have Mediterranean cooking tonight. I had corned beef and cabbage soup. So it did not really. It's Irish. I had an Irish meal.
Irish and the French thing.
With the French wine. Actually, I just I'm just drinking the wine on its own, and you know it's good. I taste the peppery, and I taste the cherry. That's what I tasted. I tasted something kind of fruity, and I wondered what that was, but it is cherry. It's actually pretty decent, I have to say. Not one of my favorite French wines, maybe because it's a blend instead of like a Bordeaux or something, you know, more definitive. But it's a decent wine. It's a decent table wine. Vineyardbrands.com, V-I-N-E-Y-A-R-D, brands.com is the website. I guess it's imported from Birmingham, Alabama. Well, from France to Birmingham, Alabama. Interesting. Mm. It's a good, decent bottle of wine. I'm going to give it 3 fangs. It didn't blow me away when I first tasted it, but it's decent. Not bad at all, and not bad for this evening. So, Stephanie, you're next.
Hey. Okay, so a few weeks back, I actually had some beer on the show, and I got a nice little tweet from our friend Eric, a.k.a. Fat Emo Kid, who just loves beer. And so this one's for you, Eric. I'm drinking Chimay Blue, and this is a Belgian beer, and I don't know, it just tastes delicious. The very first time I had this beer, I don't know, it's just been hooked ever since. I don't know how else to describe it except that it makes me feel really good after just one drink, and that's because I guess the alcohol content is a little bit higher. But yeah, it's like your classic Belgian beer, and it goes great with anything, even all by itself. It's one of my favorites. It's a little pricey. Like when I buy a glass of it at a bar, it's usually like, you know, like about $8 or so. But I just bought a bottle at Whole Foods, and it was $11.99. It's a little pricey, but it's definitely my fave. And I give it 4 fangs.
Nice. 4 fangs for the Chimay. I like it. Okay. Let us move on to the news. Okay. We are going to talk about the Secret Circle first, since we've been tracking it and trailing it, and I think it's appropriate for this show. Maybe there might be some biting later. I don't know. But I am sorry, I have not watched the show yet. So I'm going to toss it to both Stephanie and Shannon for a recap.
Well, I just finished watching the third episode, like literally 10 minutes ago.
Okay.
We recorded, and I was actually pretty excited. It's getting better. There's more, now that they've bound their witch circle, there's more magic in teams going on. They actually lost their power individually to some extent, and we're seeing more of the plot thickening with the adults who, one of them just needs to break up the young circle because, we're learning about the past and what happened in another generation with the witches. So the plot line's getting thicker. I really enjoy it. What did you think, Shannon?
I really liked this episode. It was a lot more, a lot more enjoyable for me. In this episode, they all went to the school dance, and then this guy named Zach from when the girl's mother was in high school, he was a friend with her, and he's coming back to, do a little bit of revenge by like killing off all the witch children of the adults that had passed away in the prior generation, because apparently they did something to this girl named Heather, who I guess Zach was either really good friends with or in love with. I'm not sure, but they all went to school together in the way back in the day. So it was kind of cool to see a little bit of the history going on in this episode with the parentals and finding out a little bit about Cassie's mom's history and how they must have done something to this girl Heather. So it's making me think that maybe there's a bad side to all of the parents that we don't know about yet, while all the kids are thinking, oh, all of our parents just died in a fire because, something went wrong. Maybe they meant to do something really bad in the meantime. So I'm not really sure yet, but I'm looking forward to seeing more of it. So I'm going to continue watching it because I'm liking it so far.
Me too. I think there's a good balance between, longer plot lines and also, it's pretty entertaining seeing the relationship struggles that the young people have, especially Cassie trying to be like, she's trying to not be friends with this girl because, she has a boyfriend that's in love with her, like destined in the stars to be together according to the parents. It's just interesting. It's keeping me entertained. So you should watch it, Eileen.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's the adding another show to my another arsenal 40 minutes. Of shows. I know, another 40 minutes. I still have the
pilots. Not enough hours in the day for all the shows.
I know. I guess
Shannon and I will keep watching.
I know. Thank you for watching. I think it sounds really good. It's not that I don't want to watch it. It's more about, oops, I don't have time.
Suck. It keeps getting better. Some other shows where, we're trying to give it a chance. And, I'm easy to please in the beginning. And I always it starts off slow. This one's consistently getting better every episode. So I enjoy that.
Did you ever finish Teen Wolf, by the way?
I did. Yeah.
Did you like it? Speaking of a show that kind of started good and then kind of
I did. I'm looking forward to second season. So I think, I don't know. It's like Teen Wolf started off a lot more slower for me in terms of likability. I was positive about it, but it's like I wasn't eager to watch it, which is why I always said I'm a couple episodes behind. That's how you can tell how I'm feeling about it, if I'm behind. But with Secret Circle, I wanted to watch it before we recorded tonight, so I could talk about it.
Okay, good to know.
So that's a positive note.
Yeah, very positive.
I mean, I don't think it's better than a Vampire Diaries yet, but
oh yeah,
no. But not even close.
It's got potential.
All right. Very cool.
Are we all still watching Ringer?
I'm watching Ringer. I didn't really like the last episode, though, but I'm watching it. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm committed to watch it at this point.
Yeah? Did we all like it so far?
I like the first two episodes, but I haven't seen a third yet.
Yeah, the third one kind of disappointed me. I don't know. Did you like it, Josh?
I liked it. Yeah.
You did.
I mean,
about it if you want.
Yeah, there were a few goofy elements of it, but But overall, I still liked it.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I liked it too. I guess, I can't even remember now. So many shows I'm watching right
now.
Well,
it has no biting, so we shouldn't do it in.
Yeah, that's
true. Detail anyway, but
we're still watching.
Yeah. Go Buffy. We got a show that doesn't suck.
That's yes, right.
Exactly.
Okay, well, moving on to Twilight news. Actually, I'm looking at our Facebook page, and Stephanie, you posted, okay, update, Kristen Stewart is on Glamour magazine.
Oh, and that's right. She's got the cover, I think.
Yeah, she's on the cover, and if you like Glamour, you can watch a video, exclusive video of Kristen, I guess, maybe taking photos. I don't know. She looks great, as usual.
She's looking so much more grown up now recently.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean.
She doesn't look awkward anymore.
No. And then we talked about it last time was the next day the soundtrack was going to be released, and the soundtrack for Breaking Dawn, I guess there's a bunch of previews on this site here. Bands like Porcelain, The Features, I think there's a ton of previews here, songs that you can listen
right.
to.
Oh, that's right. There's even a rap song.
There's a rap song?
There is. And it's actually pretty catchy. I mean, I feel kind of silly saying like, ooh, rap song. But it's quite catchy, yeah. Oh. If you go to, it's breakingdawnmovie.org. I think there's a link. Actually, they have a blog like full of clips, like even the full soundtrack. Or not the full soundtrack, full song for Bruno Mars. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, the Bell Burger Iron and Wine. Oh, no. Oh, Iron and Wine. Should we say? Wedding version.
Ooh.
Because, you know, it's that song, Flightless Bird, at the end of Twilight. And I guess she must walk. Either they do their first dance to it or she walks down the aisle to it. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, my God. There's like 15 tracks. Oh my God. Okay. Anyway, so the the listening, you can listen to it at your leisure. I guess that's what I'll say about that. And Shannon, you have a magazine that's kind of related to Twilight.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, I went off to a convention this weekend, and I had to pick up the obligatory girly magazine this weekend. So I got an Us one that's all about Breaking Dawn. There was a lot of like behind the scenes information in it, and lots of photographs from the set. So it's pretty cool. There's just a couple of excerpts that I found to be kind of interesting. Like behind the scenes, apparently Kristen Stewart is an amazing chef.
Really?
And she cooked for the cast several times, and they would all eat together like a big happy family. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Wow.
They were really into playing the Twilight board game when they were on their off time. Yeah.
Really?
Their own board game.
Yeah. And there was also this little piece about Rob. Remember when we went to Comic-Con and his hair looked kind of funky?
Yes. What was going on with that?
You mean funky? Okay. Like he hadn't washed it or like,
no,
like
it's
spiky?
Like how his hair was shaved off.
Yeah.
Like what? One half of the side of his head, the hair was all shaved off. And I was like, what's up with that? And I zoomed in on my camera and I was like, he looks kind of funny right now. But apparently, it says, what's with the lopsided coif? Fear not, it's just from a scene in his upcoming drama, Cosmopolis, in which he flees a barbershop mid-cut. Said the star, it looked a lot worse, believe it or not.
Oh, actors, what they do for their role.
I know. And I didn't know that he dated Nikki Reed. I had no clue about
that. I kind of heard that, but I think it was just on the hush-hush. And
I guess they kind of came out and said it in this magazine.
Oh, really?
I noticed or not. Yeah, because it just says, it's just like an itty-bitty little quote on a photo. It says, Rob has the best heart, co-star and ex, Nikki Reed gushes to Us. I was like, oh, interesting. Oh,
well, she's engaged now to someone who was on American Idol last year.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, she is. And I think, 2009, I'm pretty sure Kristen was still with her ex at the time. So, it's all worked out.
That's what young people do.
Exactly.
They date each other.
Exactly.
They also talked about Renesmee a little bit too.
Oh, really?
What would they say?
Yeah,
I want to know.
They had a little interview with her as well, and she's so cute. Apparently, she's incredibly clever for a 10-year-old. she had a really interesting way of earning cash while she was on the set. She said by having them pay up every time that Robert and Kristen Stewart cursed in front of her. And then Robert Pattinson said, she earned a lot of money out of us. Job, Renesmee.
Little Mackenzie Foy.
Oh, how funny. That's so cute. Aww.
Yeah, it was a good read. And there's a couple of sexy Taylor Lautner posters in there. Oh. If anybody wants them.
Like the pull-out kinds that you...
Yes.
Like you hang over your bed.
Bop back in the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that. You remember that, right, Josh?
Oh,
you remember
yeah.
all that? Oh, so much.
It's all about kids on the block back then.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, man. All right. Right. Well, let's just go ahead. This is a great episode for The Vampire Diaries. Let's go ahead and move on to our recap of The Vampire Diaries, Season 3, Episode 3, I believe. The End of the Affair. All right. There was a lot of flashbacks here, and we would get to... we are sort of taken back in time to understand why Klaus actually is keeping Stefan around. It's all kind of starting to make sense to me. I don't know about you guys, but it's starting definitely to make sense. We do open up the episode with Damon getting a phone call, and oh my goodness, Catherine is on the other line.
She lives.
That made me happy to see Catherine again.
Oh, she was so saucy on the phone. Hi, miss me. And you know, he's just like, and no one around here is talking about you. So there.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. No one's thought of you. Yeah,
no one's thought of you. No one.
Did they listen to our show? Wow.
I know, right? That was kind of cute, and it was a good tip off. She gives kind of the tip off of where he might possibly be, and then we do find out that Stefan and Klaus have arrived in Chicago, and I guess it was such a magical time in the 20s, wasn't it? It was so magical. And Stefan's just talking about like, yeah, I don't remember. I blacked out a bunch. You know, that's what happens. I black out when I kill the people.
He's like,
I don't
if you
know.
Say so.
Yeah, whatever. I have no idea. So I love the flashbacks. What did you guys think? I mean, I loved Stefan looked great.
Oh, yeah.
Really
in
good picture
suit.
Of him in a tux.
Oh, he looked really good. And Klaus looked great, too. Or Nick. His name in the 20s,
yeah,
Nick.
Nick. Yeah. What the heck?
Like, what is that? And then we get to meet Klaus's sister, Rebecca, who...
Well, apparently had the hots for Stefan.
Yeah. And I think it was sort of, you know,
vice
it was
versa.
Mutual.
It was mutual.
Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Very mutual. And, you know, they did their killing. They did their blood drinking, and they were kind of mean, the three of them. Once they all met, they were so mean at that club. And so we were taken back in time. And then we go there. It's sort of like we reminisce, and then we're there because Klaus wants to find or talk to a powerful witch who we meet, Gloria. And at the time in the 20s, she was a young songstress too. I guess she was on the stage singing, and she ages well because she's got powers to age well. She looked great.
Damon still flirts with her.
He was awesome. I really liked that actress. Like she seemed like such a powerful person. Just kind of the aura she gives off mm-hmm. when she's portraying that role. I just loved whenever she was on the scene.
It was interesting that she said, you know, to Damon, just jumping ahead really quick, you know, I always liked you better. And your brother's still keeping bad company. So, okay. So Damon wasn't always the scoundrel or, you know, he was who he is, but, you know, probably, I don't know, at least to her, a nicer guy. So Klaus is, you know, wants to break the spell, you know, doesn't understand why this hybrid thing isn't working. Little does he know that Elena is still alive. Uh-huh. And so she's like, yeah, this is a powerful curse. You know, I need to talk to the original witch. And he's like, well, that's going to be hard because she's dead. And she's like, what does she say? She needs something that Rebecca has. And we don't know what that is yet at this point. And what's really scary is that, well, it's not really scary, but Stefan is, you know, been summoned to go make some drinks or whatever. And he looks at the bar, and the bar back has got a picture of him and Klaus from the 20s. And he's like, what the heck? So it was interesting because I guess they were kind of like brothers. Mm-hmm. Well, what I want to know too, I mean, this is just an aside, is like, where was Damon in all of this? I mean, I know that they had a rift. Obviously, they had some time apart, but.
He was just elsewhere. I mean,
yeah, that's a good question. Well,
the he did mention knows. He did mention to I don't remember who he was talking to, but he said something about how he was also living in Chicago, but he knew how to avoid his brother.
Yeah, so he was. Line. So Gloria knew him, though. Remember, the witch yeah. knew him back then. So mm-hmm. he was around, but well, he probably just wasn't part of the gang, right?
Right, yeah. But also remember who we see at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
In the flashback.
Yeah. So,
oh, might as well, can we just say it?
Just say it. We see Catherine at the end.
Right. So he might have been occupied with that's what I'm guessing is there's some story about, you know, whatever Catherine was.
Oh, because he was still trying to find her. But didn't they both think she was dead at this point? Or no, he never.
I don't know.
Wait, I'm confused. It's so much. I mean, maybe he always thought she was. No, he wanted to. Find her in the tomb. He always thought she was in the tomb. Oh, remember?
At that point, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Remember he's
Catherine
been trying.
Just likes to keep tabs on people.
Yeah, she's been following she's Stefan and.
Okay,
and Damon.
So that can't have been keeping Damon.
You know, off, maybe so. Damon. You know, it's his brother. Obviously, he knew Klaus. So, or Nick, whatever his name is, but you know, he was probably just in the background, just doing his thing, checking in with his brother every once in a while, you know, that kind of thing, just making sure. I mean,
being
they're
a
brothers,
big brother.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, the scene of, you know, the flashbacks that happened, it was just over one evening in a short amount of time, so I can't assume that Damon's just gonna always be lurking around. Cause
that's true.
That night, it was just one night.
Was it one? I think it was two.
Well,
I think
no,
it was.
She was buried. I mean, when they opened the tomb, I forgot her name.
Rebecca.
Rebecca. When they opened her casket, she was wearing the same outfit as when
at the very beginning. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was led to believe that there was two different days at least, because they had to have known each other for a while.
Yeah.
Because remember at the beginning they had met. He had first met Nick. Mm. And the first scene, and then later they were brothers. So they must have spent
some time.
Yeah,
there was that one that where they took a shot at the bar and then turned around and had the picture taken.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes more sense, but yeah, it's...
She just liked that outfit.
She did, yeah. She had one outfit. Okay, so we get to find out that basically Klaus compelled. I'm getting my terminology.
Because it was like, why does it? I don't believe that he wouldn't remember him at all. So then I was finally, okay, good. Klaus did actually erase his entire memory of him.
Right. So he's like, listen, you know, I erased, but we were brothers once, you know? You liked hanging out with me before at one point in time. And then he just, you know, I love the fact that Stefan is just like, how come I don't remember? And it all kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Let's take a step back a little bit. Now, Elena and Damon go to Chicago, to try and find Stefan, and, Damon knows Stefan's old apartment. I guess no one is living there. It seems so weird that no one has ever occupied the place since Stefan left, but maybe he just owns it and then it's just abandoned.
Maybe he still has the title on it if he owns it or still rents it or something.
No one's lived there because all of Stefan's old stuff is there, including his little secret closet of drinks.
And, that was pretty cool.
But drinks and then the wall of names.
Yeah, his secret, I don't know, like it's funny because Stefan has all these little, what do you call them, like these rituals? Like the way he kills people is like he dismembers them and cuts off their head. And then he feels remorse. So he puts them back together.
Oh, right.
And then also, like, he asks for their name before he kills them so that he can write it in his secret wall.
Yeah.
I thought that was
strange.
Weird cat.
Yeah, really strange. But it's creepy at the same time, you know, sort of like strange, but yet he doesn't want to forget them. And then, I don't know, it's just weird. So Elena and Damon go to his apartment and, you know, also Damon has given her his journals, his diaries or whatnot. And so we get, you know, sort of an inside, well, she gets an inside look and Stefan's remorse and whatnot. And I like the fact that, you know, she's reading it and, you know, or we hear Stefan's voice and he mentions Lexi a lot, his best friend, which I'm still mad that she's dead, but, you know, mentions her quite a bit.
Oh, I thought it was cute when he had an entry in his journal where, oh, you know, Lexi's on to her next challenge with me, which is, you know, trying to make me laugh.
Yeah, I thought that was cute too.
Oh, that's cute.
I think Josh is calling back. Hello, Josh. Welcome back.
Hello.
But yes, I thought that was cute too, that the personality of their friendship was still is still alive, even if it's just in words and in the voice.
I hope we see Lexi again.
I hope we do too. I'm guessing we will in flashbacks, you know? So, she was awesome. I love that character. So Elaine, okay. And then Damon leaves, which when he left Elena in the house, didn't you guys feel like, why did you do that?
That was stupid.
It is stupid, but then he also admitted that it was stupid.
Yes, so he
then
did.
It's kind of like you kind of give him an out, like, oh, okay, fine. They admit it was stupid.
But when he left, I felt like, really? You think she's going to be safe in Stefan's old apartment knowing that Klaus and Stefan are in town? I mean,
yeah,
where else are they going to stay?
Duh.
Yeah, especially since he's been taking this role of like, oh, I need to protect. You know, I need to protect Elena. I'm not going to tell her about Stefan because I'm going to protect her and blah, blah. And then to do that, I think that was writer's laziness.
Yeah, and then they gave themselves an out by, like, having Damon be so aloof about it. Like, oh, sorry, I was down, whatever.
Maybe.
You're alive, so it's fine.
I mean, it led to a really good scene where Klaus and Stefan do return to the apartment. And Elena has been in there waiting for Damon to come back and is reading Stefan's journals. Now, the only thing that bugged me about that scene, I thought it was a great scene when Stefan accidentally found Elena in the back there, but and it was just, I was so scared. And when he said, "Oh, I found or you found something, found this or whatever," I was like, "What?" And then he just pulled out an old, you know, a bottle of alcohol. Wouldn't Klaus be able to smell or hear her heartbeat and know that somebody was in the house?
I think in the apartment? I think they were alluding to the fact that Stefan distracted him with the drink.
But before that, even when they knock on the door and they walk in there, and at first Stefan's like, or Klaus is like, oh, do you smell? I don't even know if he said smell or hear that. I can't remember. So I thought, okay. Because, you know, a vampire's senses are so heightened. My only problem with that scene is that they should know Elena was in there. Stefan should not have been surprised when he turned the corner. I mean, maybe he was surprised that it was her, but they should have known that there was someone in there.
Yeah, I agree.
In terms of vampire-ness, you know? That was my biggest problem with that scene.
Not so sharp, these vampires.
Well, and he's a hybrid. He's, like, even more aware, right, of things? I mean, we don't want Elena to die or whatever. I get that, but...
Yeah. Maybe they were drinking in the bar even more.
And you know what happens when you have alcohol.
They weren't acting very drunk. But yeah, I agree. That was a little bit weak.
And like you could totally hear her heartbeat, you know, and she was probably, her heart was beating quite a bit being in that little
closet. She'd probably freak the F out. Like I would be if I were her and vampires were real.
Absolutely. But it was a really, now that moment where Stefan turned around and they had that long pause looking at each other and she kind of like looked like, hi, you know.
Hi. It was so nice.
It was. I felt like even just that one staring scene, I felt like the two of them just acknowledged, like, you know, whoa, you know, sort of their love and whatnot. I felt that there. And thankfully Stefan was able to distract Klaus and they were able to get out of there. Whew. But
it's nice to see his consistency and how he cares about Elena, even though he doesn't say it. And he always proves that he still cares about her by like sparing her and Damon too.
Mm-hmm.
So he still has his humanity.
He does. He definitely does. Now, Klaus and Stefan go back to the club and he tells her more. And, you know, pretty much reveals, you knew my sister. And I can't actually, maybe it happened before they went to the apartment. I can't remember now in sequence of events. But basically, they go to a coffin and they pull out, they find Rebecca in the coffin dead. And she's not really dead. She just has the whatever the stick in her that she can't really die, right? What do you call it? Yeah. What was the stick? Special kind of wood. I can't remember now. Sorry. But he pulls it out and, you know, it's going to take her a while to revive and tells the security guard. Yeah. So you're going to let her feed off your coronary artery and you'll die. Okay. Thanks. all right. So, you know, we know she's going to be revived. What I'm wondering as I'm watching this scene now, when Elijah was put away, I assumed that everyone in there was the family with him. But maybe he's got them scattered all around the world. Because if Rebecca's in Chicago, and, you know, I'm assuming that Elijah is back at Mystic Falls or somewhere near Mystic Falls, wherever they left him.
Well, there was also that scene, don't forget, that where they were explaining why Klaus killed most of his family, but he didn't kill Rebecca because she was the only one who came to her senses and followed him. So maybe she had followed him for a while until that point where she chose Stefan.
Oh, true. So he still might collectively have a lot of people in one place, or a lot of his family in one place.
I'm wondering why. Yeah, he must have a bunch of family in the same place because there were several coffins in that room where Rebecca was.
It's probably just everybody except for Rebecca, because Rebecca was his last... quote-unquote living family member.
Wait, what do you mean by him? What do you mean by everybody? Like, oh, you mean just other people or just other? I wasn't sure if it was just empty coffins and she was just one in there. I guess I didn't.
I wasn't either. I assume that they were all full of, like, vampires or something.
It's hard to tell. I don't really know, but I do. I mean, I do remember that scene though, where she's like, "Yeah, you know, I was the only one of the family members who had the sense to follow Klaus."
Yeah.
So that's true. Yeah. Maybe that's why she's separated, because they traveled together, running together because they were running from something.
That makes sense. So it's quite possible that Elijah. Well, it could be a new. It could be two things. It could be Elijah's in with all the rest of the family, or Elijah's alone where he is, and then the rest of the family is somewhere else, right?
Could be
one of those. Who knows?
I hope we meet more of the family later.
Me too. You can revive them.
A lot of the gaps.
Yeah, you just got to pull the thing out wherever they are. They can come back.
Tree that's a little twig, whatever it is.
I know exactly.
what if vampire gets a splinter? No, it has to be. Like, what if they get a splinter? Never mind.
Probably be extremely painful splinter.
Exactly. Extremely, extremely painful. Okay, so I'm trying to remember. So Elena and Damon have hatch a plan to distract Klaus so that Elena can talk to Stefan. And, you know, Damon's like, look, can you really do this? Because I don't have that much time with Klaus, and he's going to try and kill me. You might want to help me out here if you really need to be serious.
He had a pretty standard plan, though, because didn't he just walk into the bar and he nodded to Stefan, who saw him?
Yeah.
And then Stefan's like, oh, I need a drink, like a real drink.
Yes.
And he's going to go kill somebody. I'm like, okay. So he goes outside. Elena's waiting out there. And in the bar, you know, Damon approaches Klaus. It doesn't seem like a very creative plan, but I guess it works.
Damon walks into a bar.
It had so many ways of going wrong, and it just so happened that everything that could go wrong did.
Yeah. So Stefan, or I know. So Stefan goes out and finds Damon, and he's like, I told you not to be here. You know, tell her to forget me, blah, blah, blah. Don't you know that as soon as, you know, the witch is seconds away from finding out that Elena's still alive, and, you know, that's what they need, and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, well, you go tell her herself. And she's all dolled up. Hi, Stefan.
Where she's standing there.
Yeah. So they talk, and that was kind of, I mean, you know, I could tell the remorse. The hug was good. I couldn't tell if he hugged her back.
He smelled her hair.
Okay.
That's what I got from it. He was like, there was that pause in the embrace where he was smelling her hair. And then, you know, of course, it all changed.
Yeah, it all changed because she was about to put vervain in him. And he's like, I told you. And then he had to do the whole throwdown, like, oh, well, he was actually being honest, too. And like, look, things are never going to be the same. I killed a ton of people. And she's like, well, Lexi found you like this before. And he says, well, but it took me 30 years to deal with this. And that's a whole lifetime for you. And, you know, that's just, it's never going to be the same. And she's like, I know, but it's okay. And then he essentially just you know, he lied. He didn't really mean that he never wants to be with her again. He lied. But yeah. He had to do it. He had to just make her go away because he wants to protect her. And in all of that, he's telling Elena that you have to see. He told her about the whole hybrid thing and not working and all that stuff. So, I mean, it seems like it just came down to the, I have to hurt you even though I don't want to hurt you, you know?
Yeah.
And just say something mean even though I don't really mean it. And then he turns around. It was
just for her protection. And we know that, but she's just too high strung with love right now to understand it.
Exactly. So I thought that was really sad. And in the meantime, Damon almost dies, but the witch, Gloria, said, not in my bar.
That was pretty great.
Take it outside. And I love Klaus. He's like, really? He kind of whines about it, right? Really? God. And then basically Damon just gets away. Stefan doesn't want him to die, and Klaus knows that.
How Klaus gave Gloria quite a bit of respect throughout the past and throughout the current scenes.
He does need her, though. I feel like anyone could die, but he does need her to break this this spell. So
it was interesting.
Yeah. And she, didn't look scared. She just was like, I gotta do my thing. Gotta do it. And even she is pretty powerful, so she could probably just disappear. And, if Klaus was out to get her, she could probably do something.
Yeah, she survived this long.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So then we get to revisit Rebecca, who has now awoken and stabs her brother. And we're like, whoa, what did you guys think when that happened? Did you think maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
Klaus was going to die.
Yeah, possibly.
but then you remembered, oh, they're originals and they can't.
Yeah.
And even him as a hybrid, that doesn't affect him. So,
no, he's like, whatever. Splinter.
Yeah. And she's just like, well, I hope at least it hurt. She's so mad.
Oh, siblings. I know. They're so funny.
So mad at him. And we get to see the flashback on how he put her away. Now, it's interesting because they're running from someone. And I'm not quite sure who they're running from.
They said somebody was with the cops. I don't know who that he was, though.
And we saw the flashback with Stefan, who's at that point his memory was erased. And there was a guy who said, you know these two people? And he's like, I've never seen them before. Is that the guy, maybe? Do you guys know who I'm talking about at the very end?
That's what I felt like it was hinting, yeah.
That was the guy, whoever he was. What was interesting is that they were all shooting wooden bullets.
Yeah.
I guess that would paralyze or kind of hurt Klaus and Rebecca, but it wouldn't kill them because they can't die, right? They can't. The only thing that can kill them is they can't even die. It's just the special stick.
I don't know. If you cut off their head, wouldn't they die?
I don't think so. I think
they can regenerate their own head.
Well,
that's a good question.
I thought that they couldn't die as originals.
Yeah, that's the idea. The whole,
no?
I'm not sure.
Maybe their necks are made out of like hardcore steel or something, so you can't even cut through it to decapitate them.
I remember last season when we first met Elijah. I remember in that deserted mansion, and Stefan and Damon were fighting him, and we're like, "Come on, behead him!" And then we didn't know at that point that
it's like no one's even tried to behead these originals.
That's a good question. You should post that as a Facebook.
Yeah, there you go. You should.
I think I will. Like, yeah, would the question
can
be
the originals
like,
be beheaded?
Yeah.
And would they be? Would they really be dead? What do you think?
On, they're not going to regenerate their own head. That would just be awkward.
But maybe you could just sew it back on, and then the skin just
right.
comes back.
It just fuses back together if somebody like sticks their head back on.
Uh-huh. Yeah, something like that. Same. I don't know. Right. Okay, I don't know. Okay, so somebody's after them, all these wooden bullets, and Klaus erases Stefan's memory, and Rebecca's upset. She wants to be with Stefan and tries to say, well, I'm going to pick Stefan, and then, for her safety, I'm thinking for her safety.
He kills her.
Klaus puts her to sleep. I'm going to say puts her to sleep. You go to sleep.
You hibernate.
Yeah, hibernate. Yeah, there you go. Hibernate with a stick in your body. The magic stick. And that's it. And then we're back in the present. And, you know, Rebecca wakes up and he's like, look, I've offered you a peace offering. You can come in now. And Stefan walks in.
Stefan doesn't remember yet. I know. And then
he doesn't remember at that point, and she's just like, Stefan? And then that's when he's like, okay, I don't want to mess up my sister by having her know that he forgot. So he goes back and says, now you may remember. And everything comes back. And I think that's cool. At this
point, did you guys think it was over with him and Elena? Because now, you know, that was his last love.
He had that little smile on his face, and he looked at her, and he was like, Rebecca. And then he turned, and he saw Klaus, and he was like, Nick.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if, because he has his memories back from the 20s and 30s now, that he's going to, that his personality is going to change, because he remembers who he is.
Well, that's what Klaus said to Damon. He said, when I'm done with Stefan, he's not going to go back.
Well, he's banking on the fact that Stefan still has feelings for Rebecca now that he has memories. But I still think he's going to remember who he is in the present, though.
That's true. I mean, just because he remembers his past love doesn't mean he doesn't remember Elena.
Exactly. I think it's going to, it might possibly awaken some darkness in him, but I think it's going to be a mixture of the memories that he had and the good feel. What's really interesting is the relationship he's going to have with Klaus. Is he going to think of him as a brother again?
Ooh, yeah.
Because we saw in those flashbacks that, you know, he was like, your family just doesn't want you to be the king, what you should be. Remember in that scene?
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
Yeah, so it was sort of, he was supporting him, and it seems like he may know a lot about the family. But it'll, so this is probably a turning point for Stefan. I don't think he's going to forget Elena, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
It might complicate things a bit.
It might, yeah.
Just the third episode and a whole season still to go.
I know. There's like 19 more episodes.
I remember on the third episode of True Blood, like I was like, come on, something happened, please.
I know.
And then now it's like the third episode and it's like more action and plot development than I could have ever asked for.
I know, right?
I'm no kidding.
I totally agree. So I guess that covers it all with Stefan and Elena and Damon and Klaus and Rebecca. I kind of, you know, I think it'll be interesting. We'll see how Rebecca is, if she's truly evil or not. Or,
I mean, I didn't think that she was evil. I mean, I know that she's powerful, but like from the scenes in the 20s, it just seemed like, I mean, yeah, she was evil, just like Klaus and Stefan, who are just mean to humans. But I didn't get the drift of her being evil because she was just in love. I mean, that's all it was. Like, that's the only portrayal we got of her, is that she was in love and don't cross her because she's a heartbreaker. That was pretty much it.
Yeah.
But evil, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we haven't seen it. Maybe we'll like her.
Perhaps.
Maybe we'll like her with Stefan, and then we, you know,
then Damon and Elena can be together.
Yeah, we won't feel bad. Or I won't. I personally won't feel bad about Elena and Damon getting together. Yeah. All right. I think we covered everything with them, right? So, the locket. Let's not forget. The necklace is what. So Klaus asks Rebecca, the witch needs something from you, and she starts to touch her chest and neck, and she's like, oh, Where's my necklace? And he's just like, please tell me that's not what it is. And she runs to the coffin and can't find it, tosses the coffin. So obviously it's the necklace.
It's which, Elena's wearing it.
Yes. Which fell in the club. The and Stefan, no, does Stefan remember? Well, I wonder if Stefan will remember, because he was in a daze when he found that necklace. And now, you know, he's given it.
If he doesn't remember right now, he's going to, because he remembers the necklace and he knows that he gave it to Elena. It's like they're his special gift to her.
So it's the necklace and the doppelganger together.
Damon, first step is probably like, F.
get Elena out of here. I don't want her to die. So we need to, but Catherine knows about the necklace, or she saw the necklace on the floor. I thought she was going to pick it up. But she didn't. But she knows. I think she knows what's all at play. I think she knows who's after Klaus and Rebecca. She knows all the backstory. She's got a lot of knowledge in her running, in her, what do you call this, in her self-preservation. 500 years of running. Oh my God. Man, that Catherine's good. All right.
She looks good in a bob, too.
She looked good in the bob. Yeah, she really did. And I was like, ooh, then Stefan walks. I'm like, whoa, hide, hide, hide. Even I wanted her to hide. I'm like, oh my God, hide yourself, Catherine. Oh my God. He's going to find you. Okay, now let's go ahead and visit Caroline, who at the end of last episode, Daddy locked her up in whatever that room was. What did we think about what happened to Caroline in this episode? Well, let's just talk about her and her dad at this point.
And her... our Facebook users say that Caroline's dad is the new Uncle John. Oh! I'm like, dang it, they're right.
Yeah.
No. Oh, man. Because it's just,
you know, he hates the vampires. He's trying to eradicate them. So.
Or convert them.
Oh, cure or they them. Can be saved. Oh. Yeah.
He's like, he's treating her like she's a dog. It's horrible. I really don't like him. I want him to go away.
Well, yeah, I just don't understand what he thinks he could cure her. Cure what? Does he have? He doesn't have any special potion or something. What does he think is going to cure her? You know, burning her until the vampire-ness wears off? I mean,
I
she's
going to
die. I
think that he was trying to condition her to not react to blood anymore. And but then she's like, Daddy, I'm so hungry. And he doesn't realize that, you know, she needs that to survive.
Right. Like, even if he did succeed in making her totally averse to blood, then she would just wither. You know, she'd be like the vampires in the tomb that, like, were all withered and couldn't move. And so,
But luckily, you know, she has another parent who's actually looking for her.
Yeah, I'm glad Tyler went to her. And,
a boyfriend.
Yep. And a boyfriend. I know. They're not really official, but they should be, right?
I love Tyler and Caroline together.
They are so cute.
Enjoying this.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. So Daddy is not understanding yet. But at the end of the episode, her mom said, look, you told me why I should understand, and he'll come around. That's what I mean. It sounded like she was saying he'll come around, right?
Yeah, right. I mean, that is what she said, but yeah, right.
I guess she still believes in her ex-husband, whatever. I don't know. But I felt really bad for her, and thank God her mom stood up for her and that Tyler was there too, because that was just like, man, you know, first he wants to know why are you, how can you walk in the day? And, you know, she tells him, and he just uses that and then, you know, puts the sun on her. I'm like, come on, man.
So messed up.
Real messed up. So I guess, you know, I didn't really miss Jeremy and all the ghost stuff. I'm sorry, Josh. Did you miss any of that this week
with this episode? I missed seeing
Anna.
Yeah, of course.
You can't even remember her name.
She only had one line this whole season. Don't trust Vicky.
Well, they need more. Yeah, that's why I missed it.
Oh, look, in this poll that we have on our Facebook page, you ask Stephanie, the Vampire Diaries fans, which of Jeremy's dead girlfriends would you trust more?
I didn't mention it because no one agreed with me. Everybody believes Anna.
Okay, well, time will tell.
Duh.
I did vote for Anna myself. Sorry, Stephanie, but time will tell. You could be right.
Oh, man, if Stephanie's right, she's going to be like, booyah, I win. It's
so really, true. I mean, I haven't looked at this poll in a while, but for a long time, I was like a single vote.
You're still a single vote.
I can't even find the poll on the page right now. That's how hidden it is.
No,
Vicky's Stephanie, just trouble.
Unfortunately, you are still a single vote, but you're better than neither.
Oh, I am.
It's better than neither. They're both evil. Nobody voted that.
Oh, so. I know. Well, it is what it is, and it time is. Will tell, my friends.
It is what it is.
Oh, and didn't Lynn mention in her email that Bonnie's coming back in the next episode?
Yes, she did say. Anyway. Yeah, that was in the preview for next episode that you see really briefly that Bonnie runs up to Jeremy and gives him a big hug, like, yay, I'm back. And it's like, awesome. Where have you been, Chica? Where have you been? Let's read Lynn's email. She just said, I noticed that Caroline's bit was short. Did you get that? I couldn't tell if it was because I watched it in part. She watched it on YouTube. And Catherine's back. Love how she's quote-unquote helping Damon. And this Thursday's promo, I saw Bonnie was back.
Oh, and we saw that Catherine was in Chicago at the end of the episode as well.
She was always there, even though she was telling.
That was cool.
Yeah.
She's a lurker.
She is. all right. Well, we have a couple of emails here regarding our last couple of shows. And it's interesting because the beginning of this email, someone else had mentioned what this person is about to say. This is from Renee. Hello, guys. Thanks for your great podcast. It's really good and always enjoy it. I have a few theories about what you said in the last couple episodes. Caroline's dad is gay. That's what they have said in the past. And I have to say that I love this actor. But I wish he was more flamboyant. We always assume that Caroline got her style from her dad, from what she says. See, I totally forgot this. And he says that he is going to cure her. And we do know from the books. Oh, well, yeah, we've read this before. And we do know from the books that she is pregnant with Tyler's puppies. So maybe they're going this direction, but I will hate to see Caroline human again. Oh, I don't think she can. I don't think they can cure her. I think in this universe of the Vampire Diaries, I think she's a vampire.
No.
She says, I think Klaus is tired of being different and wants people to be like him. And he killed his family because they always saw him as the bastard son and all that. So maybe that's what he's trying to do. We all know that too much power can get you lonely if misused. And Klaus is crazy anyhow. She also says, I love that Elena says the perfect things to Alaric. In time that he is really beginning to act like the vampire hunter of the town. He is the vampire. He's the slayer. The Jeremy thing, I feel they are dragging it a bit. Well, considering that we didn't see him at all this episode, that's for sure. But hopefully it will end with something interesting. That's the thing about getting used to a fast pace on these shows, that we become impatient. I don't know who to trust because everyone's instincts are to trust Anna, and maybe the writers are counting on that to make us wonder. Stephanie.
And, hey.
And one more last thing. What do you think of Bonnie? I have read a lot of things lately and everyone hates her, and I can't say I'm happy with her, and I would like to have her have some kind of transformation on her personality, or maybe be a real witch badass. Maybe a mentor for her would be nice. Maybe I don't like the actress. She has never convinced me. Don't know. Why John Gilbert never says to the founding families about Stefan and Damon? Why never share the rings and all that stuff on the originals? Well, that's all for me. Continue with the good work. Bye. And listen to you next week. So what do you, I mean, I'm fine with Bonnie. I think we all like Bonnie on our end.
I don't like Bonnie.
I don't know who this everybody is. Yeah. I don't know who this everybody is that hates her.
I don't know.
I think it's just odd that she's not around. But anyways, go ahead.
I just wanted to read a quick comment on our Facebook page about missing actors. Chris Galt said that he's like, Jeremy disappeared for 3 episodes in season 2 at the beginning. It's so weird, like, how Bonnie's not here now. He said, I just assume a missing actor is in rehab when this happens. Yeah. So anyway, if you see anything on TMZ about Bonnie and rehab, there you go.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with Bonnie. I don't know about Uncle John and why he didn't tell everybody about the rings and all that other stuff. I think he didn't. I don't know. Maybe he didn't know fully. I don't know. Oh, well, maybe he was trying to protect his own.
Yeah, because he kind of had his own.
He had his own agenda.
Yeah, he had his own plan that didn't necessarily totally sync with the rest of the vampire killers.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. It kind of doesn't really matter anymore because he's dead. But okay,
right,
exactly.
Oh, now that there's ghosts.
Oh, come on. Do not bring...
Just
there are consequences to death.
Exactly. This email is from Donna, who says, just found your show earlier this week. I never paid attention to Twilight books and anything else vampire related till one boring TV night. I watched Twilight and was hooked instantly. Yay. Like Lynn from Queens, so am I. I prefer the vegetarian type, but have become hooked on True Blood because of the on and off screen love affairs of Sookie Bill and Eric. Adding Vampire Diaries to my list of favorites has caused my husband countless incredulous stares. He can't believe my obsession and my DVD, audio, and iTunes video collections of all series of each of these three shows. Did I mention I'm 53? You know, it doesn't matter what age you are. It'll get you if you want to like it or not. So, anyways, love your synopsis of the shows. And in the last episode of TVD, Caroline's father has been referred to a few times. Here's the second person who has corrected us in past seasons as gay, having a boyfriend. I totally forgot. Did you guys remember all this?
No, not at all.
I forgot totally it as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Donna, and our other listener who mentioned. Remember her telling her mother she'd talk to him about boys? At least he had a boyfriend. I didn't remember any of that. And it was while she was this when I didn't like Carolyn? Maybe I glossed it over because I didn't like Carolyn in season one. And it was while she was traveling to her father's home for her partner's child's birthday that she got caught in the downpour and stumbled over Vicky's body. That was season one. And I didn't like her, so I didn't really pay attention to her at that point. If her father continues to have the attitude that she's a vampire, not human, it puts him in sympathy with the Salvatore's father. Once he realized they sympathized with Catherine, he has no qualms about turning them in, even taking the first shot when they tried to free her from the wagon. Maybe only women mothers are able to see past the supernatural weirdness to love their children unconditionally, like Cindy Anthony. I guess that's Carolyn's mom. Best wishes and thanks for the wine tips. Thank you, Donna. And one last email from Shelley, who writes, "Hi guys, I wanted to say I was sorry for the True Blood rant in my last email. Guess I was feeling let down by the show. You guys are so much fun to listen to and are my favorite podcast by a long shot. I have about 7 podcasts I follow every week and you are the first I check out. Thank you so much."
Oh, thank you.
Yay.
Yay.
"After such a great second season on TVD last year, I'm so happy to see it coming back as just as strong this season. Stefan is okay, but there is nothing like a bad boy, and even when Damon is good, he's still so bad. And as Martha Stewart would say, it's a good thing. Love you guys, and keep up the vampire and werewolf love. P.S. Have you all caught Revenge? It's not supernatural, but the show is great. Have not. Anybody else watching Revenge? Ooh, Shannon is. And
I am loving it so far.
Wow. What channel is that on?
Hulu? I don't know. Yeah, it's Hulu, good. It's about a chick who grew up in the Hamptons, but a couple of people framed her dad.
Like, it's ruined ABC. Her it's childhood. ABC.
Okay, yeah, okay. So she moved back to the Hamptons, and she's like slowly ruining the lives of everybody that ruined her life. It's kind of cool.
Wow, slowly ruining, huh? Okay. Well, there you go. Shannon's watching. Josh, you are watching too. I know you are.
Oh, yes, of course.
And I have nothing to say about it at all. All right. Well, I guess that does it for this episode of Bite Club Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening once again. We'll be back with another recap of the Vampire Diaries next week. Oh, I can't wait to see what happens when Rebecca is in the modern times. This will be fun. And until next time, bye.
Bye. Bye.